Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org. Use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together. Before we have our prayer, immediately after the 11 o'clock service, we're having a lunch in here to highlight and celebrate the women's ministries of our church. So after this service, if you want to help us out, we're going to take all the chairs and stack them on either side here. And Steve, who just read our scripture, you didn't know you were reading the whole Bible today, did you? great job, by the way. We'll be here to help with getting those stacks. So I say that now because I'll forget later, and I'm supposed to say that. So we got it. All right, let's pray. God, help us to hear a word of hope and grace and love and what you say to us and through us. And maybe today we can get just a glimpse of the risen Christ and know that it will be enough. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So this is the third Sunday of the Easter season. Easter is a 50-day period in the church. It begins, obviously, with Easter Sunday. And we are looking at some of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. If it were up to me, I would have done it different. He appeared over 40 days, and he just popped in and out of different situations. I would have just rented out the Jerusalem Convention Center, send out some social media posts, a billboard, everybody gather, he's going to appear, we're done. But God, for some reason, decided to do it differently. And having Jesus appear randomly in these situations, it was actually a 40-day period. The largest group he appeared to was 500 people. So maybe that was at the Jerusalem Convention Center. I don't know what the capacity was at the Convention Center, but you never know. So what's interesting about these stories is he appears and gives the people that he appears to what they need in that moment based on who they are. Remember the story last week we talked about Thomas? The disciples were gathered in the room behind locked doors. Thomas was not with them. Jesus appeared to them. Thomas comes back and they say, "You're not going to believe this. Jesus is alive. He came back," and he says, "I will not believe it unless I can put my hands in the scars." And a week later, Jesus comes back for Thomas because he knew what Thomas needed. And so today's story, we have two disciples, followers of Jesus, that are traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it's a 7-mile walk. And so just picture these two, Cleopas and the other guy. How'd you like to be the other guy? Why did Cleopas get his name in scripture? And this guy's got to be thinking, could you at least give my name? But there's no name, just these two people. And they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about what has just happened. And what has just happened is the one that they thought was the Messiah was dead. And everything they'd hoped for was gone. And they were processing that as they walked. You ever process things when you're walking? In fact, a lot of people do that. We walk to think about things and just to get our mind in a proper spot. They're doing this, and then a stranger shows up along the path and just begins to walk with them. Now, we know from reading the story it's Jesus, but they had no idea that this was Jesus himself. And they're walking along and talking. Jesus asked, essentially, "What are you talking about?" And they couldn't believe it because they said, "Don't you know? I mean, everybody in town knows what just happened." And the story goes that they just stopped in their tracks, and it says they stood still looking sad. So you can almost feel the disappointment. The stranger has come up, they've shared what has happened, how their hopes have been crushed, and here we go. Well, next thing you know, Jesus begins to talk about the scriptures with them. Now, remember, there wasn't a New Testament at this point. It was just the Hebrew scriptures. And he's sharing these things from scripture. And he makes a point to say that the Messiah must suffer, which he did. And in the sharing of this, the two disciples got a little glimpse. They didn't recognize him yet, but they knew something significant was happening. Later, they would realize it more fully. They arrive at Emmaus, at the village, and the story goes that Jesus was just going to keep on walking. So you can imagine, he's appeared to them. They don't know it's him. Why in the world would he just keep walking? Well, they wanted him to stay. They didn't know it was him, but they felt something about him that they invited him to stay for dinner in the evening. And so sure enough, they gathered there at the table. And it was in that moment that Jesus, it says he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. And if you look at the story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus, it has the same language. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. The Last Supper, what did he say at the Last Supper? He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. And so while this is an ordinary meal that they would be sharing after a 7-mile trip anyway, he took this ordinary meal and he made it into something completely different. And it was in that moment that they recognized him. And so you can just see the looks on their faces. They went from this deep disappointment to, it's really him. It's all true. And then he vanished. Now that just doesn't seem fair, does it? 7 miles, you're like, could you have at least told us at mile 5, 6? Then you reveal yourself to us and you're gone. Well, they were probably so overjoyed they weren't even thinking that way. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They were tired from the 7-mile journey, and the adrenaline was pumping. So what did they do? They got up immediately and went back to Jerusalem. So 7 miles and then 7 miles back. And I can see them talking on the way back. Which one's going to get to tell the news? You can almost see them arguing. Cleopas could make a case. Well, my name's the only one that's going to be in Scripture, so I should be able to tell them. The other one's like, no, you get your name in Scripture. At least let me tell the others. And then they decide, well, how do you share that kind of news? And so they get back to the place where the disciples were gathered. The door opens, and the other disciples say to the two, Cleopas and the other, they say, great news, Simon has seen Jesus. He's alive. You ever want to share great news with somebody and somebody else has already beat you to the punch, you know? And they had to think, really? We could have waited till tomorrow instead of coming back this afternoon. Well, beside the point, they were all overjoyed. He was alive and he had given them a glimpse. And I can almost picture Mary Magdalene and maybe the other women, if they were there, they had to be thinking to themselves, you know, we told you this already. Why do you have to make this so difficult? It really wasn't. If you just believed us, everything would be fine, but no. And so the question is, how does the risen Christ appear to you? My guess is if you're here at a worship service, at some point in your life, in some way, God has connected with you. And it's different for all of us, but my guess is you've had a glimpse yourself. And if you haven't, you're just so curious about it because you're here. And you never know when you're going to get that glimpse. It can happen in the most ordinary of days, even in just a meal. So about 5 years ago, my mother-in-law called Alicia, my wife and myself, and she said, y'all need to come to our church next Sunday. You just have to be there. Now, they live in East Texas, and it was a pretty good drive to go there. And so naturally, the question was, why? I mean, we're glad to come, but why? She said, just come. I can't tell you right now. And the whole family is going to be there. And I'm wondering, what in the world is this? I mean, it's a week notice. All the family, we want you to be at this worship service. And so as we were driving to the service that day, I began to think, maybe they won the Powerball. Maybe they won the Powerball, and they were going to get up and make this announcement that they are giving this huge endowment to the church, and we want to invite our children up, and kids, you know, we wanted to give you a significant portion of this too, and thoughts of retirement were just running all through my mind. It was a spiritual experience there as we passed through the Tyler area. Well, we arrive at the church, and wonderful church, the Baptist church, and I'm thinking, well, you better pack a lunch because that sermon could be a little long. I'm thinking, should we stop and have brunch before the service? Or, well, we arrive at the church, and it's right as the service is starting, and if I wasn't preaching, I'd be on the furthest row in the back as possible. That's where I would sit, and so I'm thinking, we'll just get a seat in the back, and well, we get there, and the place is full, and the only seats open were right on the front. So we did the walk of shame, you know, right down the middle of the aisle. Here's your seat. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, please, God, please, Powerball, please, please. Well, the preacher gets up and begins to speak and starts sharing the message, and I'm thinking, what are we doing here? Nothing's happened so far. And in the middle of his sermon, he invited my mother-in-law and father-in-law up on the platform to join him during the sermon, which they did. And I'm thinking, okay, this might get a little weird. What's going on? And he shares this story. And the story is when my wife was 8 years old, she and her family were on Lake Palestine in East Texas. It was the summertime, and they were out skiing and just having a good time. And if you've ever been on a lake, in a large lake, when a storm comes up unexpectedly, you know how scary that can be, the waves. Well, their boat capsized, and they were literally holding on for dear life. They had life jackets, but it was dangerous. They were in a serious situation. And there was a college student who was at his mom's house on the shore of the lake, who noticed something bobbing up and down in the water, not knowing what it was. He got out a scope and looked, and sure enough, he could see it was a boat. It was capsized, and this family is there just bobbing up and down in the water. And so he gets in his red bass boat and takes off towards the boat. And then one by one, rescues the family. Well, a few days later, my mother-in-law and father-in-law went back to that area to try to find this person. They wanted to get to know him, to thank him, and they were not able to locate him. No clue. So for 30 plus years, they always wondered, who was the guy in the red bass boat? So the pastor, go back to the service where we're there at the church. The pastor's finishing up his sermon. And he had asked people in the church to share stories on their Facebook page of God's presence in their lives. And my mother-in-law had shared that particular story and how they were praying, obviously, as they were there in the water. And then he invites another guy up to the platform. So my in-laws are there, the pastor, another man comes up. Now I'm really thinking, is this the guy from the Powerball? Is he going to make a presentation? Or I'm still holding on to that hope. Please, God. And so he comes up, and his name is Bud. Now, when my in-laws joined this church a few years prior, Bud befriended my father-in-law. And my father-in-law had not been connected to the church, really. He'd gone some, but wasn't really all in on it. And Bud helped him in his faith, and so they became real close. So Bud comes up, and I'm thinking, okay, they're close and all. So Bud is there with my in-laws, and then Bud gets to speak. And so Bud shares with all of us, none of us have heard this before, Bud looks at my in-laws, looks at the congregation, he says, I was the guy in the red boat. I'm the one that saved your life. 30 plus years later, they finally met the one who saved them. And do you know that the same thing can happen at this table? Even if it's just a glimpse, we see the one who gave his life for us and who is present in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Let's pray. God, even if it's just a glimpse, we give you thanks. We thank you for people like Bud who share your grace and love with others. Help us to know that we too can be instruments of your grace and forgiveness, and that maybe somehow, some way through us, others can come to know you. And so as we prepare to share in this sacred meal together, help us to be open to receiving whatever it is you have for us today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.